If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this robotic episode of Mind Pump.
Welcome to the Mind Pump Show.
Look, in this episode of Mind Pump, we talk all about fitness, nutrition, how to get in shape. But first, we do the intro portion of this episode where we talk about current events, our life stories, and just random bullshit. Yeah, anyway, here's what we talked about. For the first 39 minutes, we covered my shirt, which is amazing. I don't even know what color blue this is.
I don't know, but I can see your nipples.
Justin says it's a royal blue. It is made by Vuori. Vuori makes the best leisure wear, athleisure wear, I should say, for men and for women. Watch out, Lulu. Watch out, other brands.
Vuori, showing off them muscles.
Vuori's crushing. Anyway, we got a discount for you. If you go to Vuori Clothing, that's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com/mindpump, and use the code on the site, you'll get 25% off. Then I talk about the benefits of heavy lifting. I had some amazing hard workouts the other day, and I'm already growing. Check it out. Ooh. Then we talked about Justin testing the skinny-dipped almonds. Apparently, he saw the word skinny and said, oh, cool, I can eat 12 bags now.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. No, they are delicious almonds, lightly covered in chocolate, great macro profile, flavors like dark chocolate espresso, peanut butter, chocolate raspberry. What's the other one? Chocolate mint?
Yeah.
Anyway, we love them. Here's what we got a discount for you. Go to skinnydipped.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump for 20% off. Then I talked about this high school valedictorian's speech where she basically called out all of her teachers. She's going to be an awesome CEO one day, I can tell.
Roasting.
Then we talked about the student who got accepted at Harvard, but then something he said when he was 15 resurfaced and they told him, you can't come here anymore. Crazy. We talked about Woody Harrelson's dad and how he was a felon. We didn't know that. We talked about the documentary about Warren Jeffs. He was a cult leader that Justin is now obsessed with.
Yeah, I'm coming for you.
And then we talked about the largest drug bust ever recently. I think it's $1 billion worth of cocaine that just got seized at the port of Philly, I think it was. You know what that means? Your cocaine's going to get more expensive now. Also, we have tickets still available for two of our upcoming live events. One is in Seattle. One is in San Francisco. You meet Mind Pump Live. We do a live show. Adam gives you a hug. Justin kisses your face. It's a good time. Go to mindpumplive.com and get tickets before we sell out. And then we get into the fitness portion of the episode. The first question, we give tips on healthy eating at restaurants. So if you like to eat out a lot, you're probably finding it hard to stay lean because restaurants make a lot of food. They make a lot of good food. So we give you some tips on how to work around that. Next question, how do you balance training your body with being a great dad? This person is feeling a little guilty because they're missing time with their kids to work out. So we give our opinion on that. Next question, do we find it hard to live up to the image that our listeners have of us? No, we don't, because our listeners have a terrible image of us. That's easy to live up to. And the final question, what sport do we all wish we would have gotten into when we were growing up? Also, this month and this month only, MAPS Strong, one of our most effective muscle building and metabolism boosting programs, is 50% off. Here's what you do. Go to MAPSstrong.com, MAPSstrong.com, and use the code STRONG50, STRONG50, no space, for the discount. Make sure you act now. This promotion will not be back for a very, very long time.
Bro.
What?
It's Wednesday. This is, it's not your day.
What do you mean?
It's not your fucking day.
I know, look at him.
It's not your day.
What do you mean it's not my day?
We made, okay.
Every day's my day.
No. It is not your day.
You're off the schedule, Sal.
It's not your day to wear that shirt.
Oh, I love this color, dude.
I don't care. We agreed here.
What color?
I mean, it fits you well, but no.
One of the problems with
you have Thursdays.
To wear this. I typically match up with Doug. It's usually Doug that I showed up to work, and him and I have picked out the same Vuori clothes. But this one right here, this, I don't know what color blue this is. What is this?
I think it's like a royal, maybe.
Is it royal?
Like beautiful blue.
I mean, it makes sense.
Cornflower blue.
No, did I tell you that I was at Club Sport, and I finished my workout, and I put my new, I put the new Vuori stuff on that we had bought while we, when we did our event.
Yeah.
So I had this shirt on, and then you know those pants that I bought from them that are, they're kind of like a different material. They're almost like the chinos that you have.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I had those on, and I walk out, and there was a couple hanging out or whatever.
God, you're handsome.
Dude. No, and the guy and they were looking at me, and I looked at them, and I didn't know if they. Maybe they thought, you know, they listen to Mind Pump or something. Like, sometimes I'll kind of stare a little long, but like, you know, you can say hi if you want or whatever. And
kind of a big deal.
I'm a human being after all.
It's weird, bro. It's fucking awkward.
I'm not like,
don't act like it's not awkward for you.
I'm like a god.
Yeah, it's
I learned my lesson at the very beginning of this podcast with the girls. Never again do I assume. You know who I am.
We're at that event. That's the best. The girls walk up to you and they're like, they have their phone camera out, and Adam looks at us. He's like, they're obviously fans.
No problem.
They're like, they gave him the camera. They're like, can you take a picture of us?
Yeah. He's like, wait a minute.
But anyway, I was, they were kind of looking. So I looked back a little bit and I'm like, are they going to say something? And then the guy goes, hey man, sorry, we're staring. He goes, we're just talking about how well-dressed you are.
What?
Yeah. He goes, you're like an older man, well-dressed. I was like, that's kind of a compliment.
Like an older man?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a compliment.
That may be the best Vuori commercial we've done yet.
Yeah.
If someone's given you a well-dressed compliment.
I'm telling you, bro.
What kind of shoes are you wearing?
Thank you, Vuori.
I was wearing my, the ones you guys call my fucking dad shoes. Why do you guys talk shit about those shoes?
because, bro.
They're comfortable. He's got polka dots on his shoes.
They're like planks.
You wear the same shoes every day of your life.
With Minnie Mouse. I do.
I keep it consistent, man. Right. You know, it's the classics.
Screw you guys.
Classics only.
It happened to me once, another time at the grocery store. I had on a Milton Friedman t-shirt because that's what nerds do, right? So I'm at the grocery store. I'm buying veggies. And a guy across the...
Yeah, economics.
A guy on the other side of the vegetable, like, you know, square or whatever.
Yeah.
He looks at me and he points. He just points at me and looks at me. I'm like, what's up, man? He goes... Fuck yeah. And I thought he was going to be like, Mind Pump. And he comes up and goes, I love Milton Friedman. I was like, whoa.
Getting all thrown off, dude.
I was like, this is weird.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I have to get new. Dude, I made the mistake of buying the gray version of your shirt while we were down there. And I had ordered one with Rachel before I even left.
So you have two of them?
So I have two of them. And you guys both have that same shirt, dude.
Of course.
I'm screwed. I can't even wear that shirt now.
It's cool.
I can't wait to the San Francisco one. I'm going to have to go a totally different direction than you guys.
Well, every time we go, you guys end up spending $1 million.
Dude, it's like, I'm going to designate a section. I'm like, this is my section. You guys can't go venture in the section.
I'm convinced the reason why they sponsor us is because we give them their money back. We go and buy shit.
Oh, man.
Dude, I tell you what.
Like, these assholes.
Shit.
You know how I told you guys yesterday I did a old school heavy lift in my garage where I did like 5 sets, 5 reps, compound lifts. Like my wheelhouse, the shit that I love to do.
Right.
Well, I hadn't done that in a long time. For a while now, I've been doing, you know, kind of hypertrophy, get a pump, high volume. I've been doing split stance exercises to balance out my hips and all that stuff. And I did the heavy lift, and I swear to God, dude, I woke up this morning, and yes, I'm sore for sure, and I can feel a little bit in my joints because I can't handle those workouts like I used to. But I feel like I'm growing. Like my body craves heavy shit. You know what I'm saying? Isn't there a type of lifting that is like your bread and butter?
Yeah.
Did you guys find something like that for yourself? Like, where's obviously if you stick in it too long, it stops working. But isn't there a type of lifting that's like your bread and butter?
Yeah, no, that's me. That's like doing like power cleans and doing like push press and stuff like that where I'm adding more like fast twitch snap. My body responds really well.
Does it?
It's like old, it's old remnants of training like that for football. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like once I got to that peak, I could really see a change in my body, and then I would like go away from it because it's fucking hard and it like taxing on my body.
Yeah. What's your bread and butter, Adam?
I don't think I have one. I think I suck at everything.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm.
You do a little of everything.
What have you done with Adam?
Yeah. I think.
Is this a droid? Is this an AI computer talking?
Oh, wow.
It's not Adam.
I think I'm just average at everything. It's a story of my fucking life.
You're good at being average?
Yeah. I'm good at being average at everything.
Super average man.
No, I've definitely gone through phases where, you know, I'm all in on something, and during that time I feel good about it because a lot of effort is going towards it, but the moment I move out of it into something else, it's like death.
There isn't one kind of training that you find your body just fucking responds the best to, and that you have the maybe you enjoy the most.
Yeah, you know what, it's No, because if you were to ask me that,
depends when I ask you, right?
Yeah, exactly. It depends on when you're asking me. Like right now, like I really, really like the mobility stuff, and because I never was that guy, I would never was into anything like that, and so a lot of my workout is kind of just geared around that. And I've gotten into that for the last, I don't know, it's been almost 2 years now. Of me really digging being able to move better. Mm-hmm. And I just never cared. I cared so much before that I was chasing like strength gains. And so, and you really got that going in me. I never was doing singles, doubles, triples. I never cared about PRs, but I never actually focused on that. And I was really interested to see, you know, what could I get my deadlift up to? What could I get my squat up to? And boy, when I was in, I loved it. And my body was responding unbelievably to it. And before that, that was during bodybuilder time. And, you know, I love the bodybuilder workouts, the pump and chasing that. And so what I do well is when I decide and commit to a modality or a plan, you know, it's kind of miserable at first. And I enjoy working through that. And then I enjoy coming out on the other side and actually seeing the response and the change and then I start to really dig it. And then I'm pretty good about after I've been in that for a while, I like to move out of it.
Try something else.
Yeah, something else.
So for me, because I love the heavy compound basic movements so much that I can get stuck in that for too long. So what I've learned now as I've gotten older is I'll move out of it for a while. So it's been like at least 7 weeks where I haven't done any of that. I haven't done a barbell squat. Still deadlifting. That probably always deadlift. But I haven't done any barbell squats. I've done split stance exercises, lots of lunges and Bulgarian split stance squats and single leg exercises, lots of volume, higher reps. I'm in the 12 to 15 rep range, getting a pump, shorter rest periods. And I've been doing that for about 6 weeks, maybe 6-7 weeks. And so now when I go back to what my body just always responds great to, the heavy lifting, but because I haven't done it for a while, it was like boom, like I could, like the next day I woke up and I'm like, whoa, I can feel it.
Yeah.
Now here's the difference. The difference is that heavy lifting, I don't know, the shelf life on it's not very long anymore. I don't know how long I'll be able to keep, because I'm not playing with little weights, you know what I mean? I'm squatting with over 300 pounds and I'm pulling, you know, 400 to mid 500 pounds, and I don't know how long the shelf life is for that kind of training. Because I've been, keep in mind, I've been lifting that way for a long time. So although I'm only 40, I've been working out like that since I was 15.
Now,
you know what I'm saying?
What I have pieced together is all those different modalities that you're talking about, what I'm talking about. I have connected it to differences that I feel or see in my body that I like. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
For example, like when I went on chasing after the PRs and I started lifting really heavy and we went through that kind of the beginning of Mind Pump together. I, for the first time, I felt that I had built a lot of muscle that even when I wasn't pumped and in the gym, I looked more muscular
dense.
To me. And that's what we refer to it as, like mm-hmm. you looked more dense, right? If I had to put words to describe it, to me, what it felt like was, dense. You know, I could look at like my arms and I could see the definition in my triceps relaxed. Uh-huh. Like I just never had that before. I used to be the kid who, when I worked out and I got all aired up, I grew a lot. Like in the gym, I looked like I put on 20 pounds in a workout, but as soon as I walked out, I would deflate. And I really think that was because I did a lot of hypertrophy training mm-hmm. for most of my career, and so I didn't have a lot of dense, solid muscle. And so the heavy lifting gave me that, right? And then the mobility thing, like, yeah, look-wise, it may not give me the same feeling as the heavy lifting or the hypertrophy pump.
Yeah, I bet you felt the best.
But I feel the best.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's the irony in where I'm currently at right now is, you know, I feel like I have kind of like this dad bod right now, but I feel...
Dude, the other day we were walking to Luna, and we were talking about our workouts, and Justin's like, yeah, I'm doing this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this, and then Adam goes... Right now, I'm a soft-ass bitch. I was fucking dying, bro.
I feel
like
that way.
If he slapped you, it'd be like one of those mattresses that just...
I do feel a little bit like that, you know?
Soft-ass bitch.
And there's a part of me that is trying to embrace it a little bit because really, if you were to check all my health markers, I'm probably in some of, if not some of the best overall health.
Yeah.
I've ever been in my life. And so,
and your mobility's, you went from no poor mobility to not just better, but excellent mobility.
Right. And I've seen what that's done for me, and it's been incredible. I feel, aside from still the Achilles injury, which it still to this day, it kind of hinders me a little bit because I'm afraid to do some of the things I was doing before. Everything else, I feel incredible, but I don't look great. Now I look to the, you know, to somebody who's like, oh, fuck him, you know, whatever. That, to the average person, maybe I look like I'm still in decent shape or whatever, but not what I'm used to being in. So, but I also enjoy the mental challenge that brings. I think it's a good exercise for someone like me who's been one who was driven into fitness through my insecurities, you know, and being the skinny kid.
Oh, you're getting comfortable. You got to, it really is a great place to learn how to be comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
Because it's if you have body image issues or you've had body image issues, it's easier to say you're comfortable in your skin when you're feeling shredded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
muscular, yeah, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Try being comfortable in your skin when that, you know, that when you're not feeling super awesome or super fit or whatever.
When you're fluffy.
Yeah. And that's the biggest lesson I learned when I had all those health issues years ago. This is what I learned. I learned how to be comfortable in my skin, because the other option was either be comfortable in your skin and stop identifying so strongly with your body, or torture yourself and you know, go down a deeper, darker hole. And so the choice was obvious for me. It's like, well, I'm gonna just learn to be comfortable in my own skin.
And it's work too. It's always work. And I think that. I mean, I don't know. I've had a lot of people and even clients, you know, I've got clients in their 50s that I see still struggle with that. It's like, you know, and they'll be voicing to me like, oh, I feel this, or I feel terrible, or I look gross, or I don't like this and I don't like that. And I'm looking at them going like, dude, you're 50 something years old and you look incredible.
You know, it's you know, it's crazy. I was looking at old pictures with family over the weekend, and my aunt brought all these, she had taken pictures of all these old pictures on her phone. So we're scrolling through and we're seeing when we were little kids and when my aunts were, you know, younger and watching us or whatever. And my aunts are looking at the pictures and they're all just like, oh my God, look how skinny I was. Look how good I looked or whatever. And then I paused everybody and I said, did you think that back then? And they looked at me and they're like, nope. I thought I was fat. I thought I looked terrible. And now I'm looking at those pictures, realizing that I was totally wrong. I said, do you think that maybe your body image is still skewed? And then they thought about it and I said, I could very well be. I said, isn't that crazy? It's crazy. How many times people say things about themselves and 15 years later, they look at a picture and be like, man, it looked so great. And they totally forgot that at that time,
yeah,
they thought they looked terrible and they hated themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Kind of a cool.
I just go in waves of dough.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
I think Justin is testing skinny dipped.
What do you mean? Dude?
Well, I think what you're doing is, because skinny dipped, their whole thing is that they have chocolate,
yeah,
but it's just a thin layer. It tastes good, and the macros are good. So it's not like, a lot of times you eat chocolate almonds, and it's like chocolate with some almond in it. This is mostly almond,
like candy,
so with a little bit of chocolate. Good macros.
Are you dipping your skinny dipped?
I think he's trying to show him, like, these are gonna be fat dipped. I'm just gonna go for it. Crush all of them.
Oh yeah, this is a challenge. Oh, you don't think I can eat a whole bag?
Well, I'm fucking pissed. I'm pissed because I swear to God, Doug knows exactly what I'm talking about. A week ago, 7 days in that closet right over there,
yeah,
there were like 6 full big bags of skinny dip.
Oh, it's like a big mystery, isn't it?
Gone.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no mystery. There's
no.
No, there is. It's not all me, dude. I mean, I claimed the other time, like, that was me. Like, you know, ones that were peanut butter or the mint ones. Like, I don't touch.
You know why I know it's you?
I don't touch the raspberry ones. Yeah.
You're not good. You know why, dude? You'd be the worst, like.
Liar.
Yeah. No, not
well,
that.
Because I have, like, a mustache of fucking black powder.
You're the messiest eater of all time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is what it is.
He goes in the closet, he comes out, and he doesn't say anything. He's not lying. He's not telling you.
Like, what?
And yeah, there's like chocolate on the side of his mouth. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's eating all the skinny dip chocolates.
Now, do you think because you are a messy eater and you put pressure on yourself that you're a messy eater that it makes it worse?
You know what? I'm not even conscious of it anymore.
Oh, like, you're not.
You're
so zero fucks about it. You're
so zero. Like, as I've gotten older,
just committed.
I've realized that, like, yeah, I eat a little too hard. You know, sometimes
you do everything hard.
Kinda, put it in my face and I just eat it and It's just down the hatch. I'm not like savoring it. Like, I don't eat it all dainty.
I just picture him making out. Just, ah!
That's what I always
hard. Dude, if you combine Justin's.
Some chicks like that.
You combine. Stop.
What can I say?
Stop, hey, bro.
You're like the teeth banger. going in too hard.
No teeth, dude.
Bro, if you combine Justin's eating style with my eating style, you'd have the worst.
Oh, God.
You'd have the sound.
Yeah, at least
the
I'm not a smacker.
And then fucking food just coming
out
of your
We'd know Sal was eating all the skinny dip. We came in here and it was like a fucking symphony of
you want to know what's funny is that so Jessica has a strong aversion to mouth noises. So strong. Like, there's
how
a
did
term-
she end up with you?
Yeah, I know. Because you have all kinds of mouth noises.
It just goes to show you. There must be something else.
You
do this weird clicking noise
pheromone.
You do every once in a while. I haven't heard you do it in a while because maybe you've been working on it, but do you know you do that?
The clicking noise?
Yeah, you have this. No.
What?
You ever heard him do it?
Yeah.
He does it in meetings all the time.
That's usually when he's like,
it's
like
subconscious.
Asleep,
I know
right?
It is.
Oh, no. I know what I'm doing. I'm scratching my. Sometimes I have allergies. Scratch my throat a little bit.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You've like, heard him do that?
Yeah, like he's.
I can't even do it.
What was that wash that you put through your nose? Yeah, what's that called?
Neti pot.
Yeah, neti pot. He's like he just did a neti pot.
No, <it's, laughs>
you know what I mean? Like one of those.
Stop. So anyway,
it's endearing.
I just have fat cheeks. So then you would know if I ate all the skinny dip.
Yeah, bro.
I shove them all in
like a squirrel when I come in.
Bro, first of all, bro, I can hear you breathe. You'd be the worst spy of all time. I can hear you breathe from across the
room. That's my allergies. Fuck
the
you.
The audience is so happy you don't eat on the podcast anymore.
Yeah.
Remember Adam just
super rude.
Yeah. Well, I was geared up too at those times. So I'm like 2:30 muscles shoving food in my mouth at the same time. Like I'm always reminded that when we hang out with all of our bodybuilder buddies, I'm like, fuck.
And
like,
every time they come on, they're
just Shallow,
like,
George Shallow comes on them.
Oh, what was the question?
labored breathing because his big ass pecs are like pressing down on his rib cage. Poor guy.
Hey, you're so massive, dude.
No. I was gonna say. So there's a term for that kind of a phobia that I can't remember the missing. Maybe Doug can find it. But there's a name for people who have a really strong aversion to mouth noises. And Jessica is borderline. Like, it really will bother her.
Oh, wow.
So I feel bad when we go to, like, family function, my family.
Oh, God.
That's probably why I don't hear you as much anymore.
Italians just, we just eat loud. It's just, and I don't know this until she, because remember, my ex-wife was
Of course, if you're all sitting at a dinner table, everybody's slurping, it seems normal.
Totally normal. Yeah. There's so many things that I grew up with that I think are totally normal, but are quite cultural. What's the name of it? Oh, Misophonia. Yeah, that's
sounds
the name
made
of it.
Up.
Yeah, I know, it does, doesn't it?
It does sound good.
Misophonia.
Misophonia. Oh. Yes. Anyway, so we go to my family functions, and I didn't realize that we did this, because remember, my ex-wife was Italian, so she never said anything, because she grew up with the same shit. And it's everybody's making mouth noises, and I realize it now, because she points it out, so now I hear it, and I feel bad for her. And the older Italians are the worst. My grandfather cannot eat a bowl of pasta without...
There's no retraining that.
Oh no, he's fucking. You know he's enjoying his food.
Yeah,
you hear like, oh, is he eating? Is no eating again? Yeah, I can hear him.
Oh my God, dude,
it's just a bunch.
I'm
of
with
sound.
Jessica. Like I don't even like going to. Part of the reason why I hate seeing a movie on its opening night,
popcorn,
is because the amount of people chewing candy and food fucking drives me crazy, dude.
That
I just,
is annoying.
Yeah, I can't stand that. It makes my skin crawl.
Really?
Yeah, just hearing all those people around.
Yeah, stop. Oh. You know what's funny? Every person who hates mouth noises just turned the podcast off.
I know.
How
many pissed everybody off.
Hilarious. Anyway.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, good times. Yeah. So did I tell you guys about that that high school valedictorian speech that got all that
You
press?
Were telling me yesterday, but not Justin.
I know nothing about it.
So this girl was valedictorian, obviously high performer, did a good job, whatever. So she gets up there and she starts roasting the school. Like in a bad way.
Oh.
She says stuff like I'd like to the teachers, and she names the teachers for being so invested in your students' education and well-being. Stuff like that. She says good stuff, and then she says the bad stuff to my counselor. Thank you for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments. She talked about a teacher who came to class drunk all the time. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year. Thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism.
Oh, my God.
She just roasts the whole school. Could you imagine that?
Valedictorian?
Valedictorian.
Wow.
You imagine that? Like, you pick the student. You're the staff. Yeah. You're like, you go up there. And then she goes. And all the parents are there.
Yeah.
So the teachers can't just blast you. You know what I mean? Because the parents are
a little soapbox.
Was there a backlash? Do you know anything else that happened from it?
Well, the teachers didn't know what to do. Like, do we go up there and take her off the stage?
Cut the mic.
No, she finished the whole speech.
Did you guys hear about the kid, Kyle something, I forget his last name, who got accepted to Harvard and then they retracted it?
No, why?
Oh, you didn't hear this?
Uh-uh.
So this kid, I want to say he's 17 or something like that, right? He's under 18. So he's 16, 17 years old and gets accepted to Harvard. First of all, Harvard's like, I think they get 45,000 applicants. You can't even apply unless you have a 4.0, right? Yeah. So it's like 45,000 brilliant kids a year apply to Harvard. 5% of those kids even get accepted.
Wow.
And this kid gets accepted and ends up getting it retracted. And the reason why was because something surfaced from when he was like 15 or 16, when he was online gaming with his friends and swearing and cussing, and they used all kinds of profanity, racial slurs, all kinds of...
What, dude?
Wow. Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
He's
from
a kid.
When he was 15?
16, I think is what he was.
16? Now, how did that surface?
I guess they do a serious background
check. Now, that right there creeps me out.
That's really invasive.
That really creeps me out.
Super invasive,
yeah,
dude.
Because, here's what's happening with that. This is what's going to be kind of weird, is that I don't care who you are. If we have a record of all the stuff that you say and write from the age of 13 till you're ready to go to college or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if somebody wanted to, they could find something that would be bad. Everybody.
Anybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It just is. It's just the way it is. So it almost feels like they're picking people out. Like maybe they took this kid out because they wanted another kid to go in. So like, how do we get him out?
That's like NSA level.
That's weird.
You know, that's not like something that's like public records of like, you know, it's easily accessible. Like
yeah.
You had to do some serious like digging.
Or some other student or someone did that to get him off.
Yeah, you're right. They might have sabotaged him. Who knows?
You know, I don't know where I stand on this. It's kind of a, you know, if he typed it, right? It's written. It's not like said and it was like recorded. It's like he typed it and wrote it out.
Yeah, but in a gaming thing?
I think it was a gaming. I think
so it wasn't in conversation.
No. It wasn't in conversation. Oh, okay. It wasn't like I think it was either that or it was on a document that he sent to a friend, you know? So it was in conversation. Yeah.
Written form.
Right. It's in written form.
That's fucked.
It's in written form. So it's, and you wrote it. So, you know, you're somewhere, you're a prestigious place like Harvard,
mm-hmm.
and you're only accepting it's a fine line between everybody, right? Like the kid who just missed it, you know, was also really smart, also did community service, also what all these other things.
And it's so competitive to where it's like, yeah, you do one little thing like that versus another kid who's done nothing. You
know? Right.
Like, so I hate to see somebody's, I don't know who this kid is. This kid could very well be a piece of shit, so I don't know. But let's just say this kid has been busting his ass for a long time and their dream is to go to Harvard and then their dream is to become, you know, a lawyer or somebody, you know, to be successful. It sucks to see that dream could be, a lot of it could be swept away because of something that they said when they were 16.
Yeah.
Because all of us, you know, we all need to stop pointing the finger, man, because all of us have said some shit or done some shit that... If there was a videotape of it, it would be terrible, cringeworthy at the least.
So is he trying to fight it? Is that why it made the news? Or
yeah, it made the news. He did a formal apology and everything over it. I was watching a Hodge Twins. They do like little stand up like things on like topics like this, which I think they do a really good job of like making fun of it or light of a situation like this. And they were joking that mom and dad should have stepped up to the plate and took the fall. You know, like they said, like
we wrote it.
the dumbest thing this kid did was admitting to being the one who wrote it. You just got into Harvard. That's where you fucking lean on dad. Like dad, step the
dad,
fuck up.
I got my whole life ahead of me. You're done. Yeah.
What if
take a knife for the team?
Hey, what if it was dad that sent it and he's like, fuck, I can't afford to pay this fucking College Bill.
That's the move right
Damn,
there.
Damn, son, you got accepted and everything. Man. Oh, go to the state school.
Dead
I'm so proud of you. Oh, my God. I can't believe they did this to you. Yeah. Oh, save that money. Yeah. Save that money.
Yeah, I can buy a boat now.
But, you know, the way I look at it, like, I don't know where exactly I stand on it. I don't think I have enough information to really have a dog in the fight. But I definitely think that if you're a young kid today and you're on Instagram and you think it's a good idea to
just pretend like you're being watched.
You know,
paranoid state of mind.
I know, but it's like if you put yourself on these platforms and you think it's an okay idea to share your drama with your girlfriend and your buddies and talk shit to each other and you think that's smart, like, man, here's an example of a kid, like you said, Sal, who probably spent the most of his young adulthood working his ass off to get accepted to his dream college, and it completely stripped away because you think it's funny to use racial slurs back and forth. And I heard the kid's like apology and stuff like that. He totally seems sincere, and he totally doesn't seem like a racist. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're, I wasn't at 16. I was at whatever. What are you in third grade or whatever? I was like third grade, and I just learned like swear words, and I remember I didn't even know how to put them in a sentence correctly. But I remember playing baseball with my friends and just shit, fuck, damn, you know, just like saying them to say them.
It's
and
like
then,
Tourette's.
And then getting in school suspension because
you
of that.
You fuckhead or some shit like that.
Yeah. So, you know, and obviously at 16 you're a little bit smarter, and this kid was obviously a smarter kid, so you should kind of know better, but you still are, God, you're a kid
still. Dude, it's weird that that times have changed so much. I mean, when we were younger, when we were teenagers, most of the time, the vast majority, I'll say probably 99% of the time, we were doing things and saying things with our friends, there was no risk of anything being recorded. Yeah. Nobody had a camera with them. That was easy to just... Because think about it now. Kids have cell phones. So you're with your friends. At any moment, somebody could record you or take a picture of you, and they often do. Mm-hmm. That was not a risk when we were kids at all. There was the only risk was you look around as an adult walking by. And if there was no one there, what we did and what we said now, it's gone afterwards. Yeah. And it's always... You could always say I said something, but it's your word against mine, and that is gone forever, and that's weird.
You know what's interesting about that? We were walking past one of those like skate parks near where we live, and you know, there's all these like skater kids, you know, the ones that like still smoke and like, you know, are trying to be all rebellious and shit. And you know, I think they're on that like TikTok app or whatever, and they're just saying like some of the worst shit I've ever heard, like. It was completely the opposite of what I would have thought if like people were paying attention or like videoing or monitoring. You know, check this shit out, you fucking blah, blah, blah. Like wow. The worst like sailor mouse I've ever heard. And they're all like, you know, 12 and 13 thinking they're all cool just to say like, you know, big words.
I'm trying to think right now, how would that feel as a kid? Because I don't know. I don't want to take it. I don't want to like take it lightly. Like
if I was a kid, I would be like that kid what Justin just said.
You'd just be like, you'd be more.
I would be more. Yeah.
There's a lot of those. I was for sure.
Like, fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. I was for sure a rebellious, not a smart kid as far as thinking about my future 10, 15 years. And, you know, I thought I was in control of all of that shit. I wouldn't be thinking about a job or getting accepted in college. I would for sure be the kid that would be revolting on it. Mm. I would be like, fuck that. You ain't censoring me.
You can't quiet me.
Yeah. And then I would go over the top the other way. It's just, it's my personality.
Yeah. 100%. I would probably do the same thing.
It'll be interesting to see how that all kind of plays out and balances it out.
It is interesting, though, because when people know they're being recorded or know there's a chance of it, no matter how comfortable you get, it does change people's behavior. This has been studied time and time again. And so what's it going to do to our culture? Like, how is it going to change? It's weird. I was having this conversation with my uncle the other day. We were talking all about he has an online business that he's starting, but he's older. He's 60. And he's talking all about Instagram, and he's never been on Instagram before. So he got on there and he's like, it's kind of weird because it's just pictures. And we were laughing about it. And I go, think about that. Imagine if you went to your friend's house when you were 17 years old and your friend's like, hey, I got a photo album. You want to see it real quick? And you're like, yeah. And he opens it up. It's all pictures of himself. It's all selfies.
Yeah.
Like
that's
fucking weird. You would have left that house and been like, he's a psycho.
Hey, bro, I'm out of here.
Yeah, this is a weird.
That's such a good point.
And that's what we do now. It's like you look at the kid, like they're just taking pictures of themselves.
To the other end of it, it's like the hot chick at school that you're always like, oh, dude, did, you know, Adrian, she was there. Did you see what she was wearing? And now you have like, you could see what she's doing all the time on Instagram.
And the shit that they post is just.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're putting it out there.
It's like an arms race of who can be more, I don't know. Man,
did you guys ever watch that show that I talked about that was on, I want to say it was Netflix, though, the one where the guy like is a creeper and he's following her? You.
Yes.
I did.
Yeah.
Super good. Yeah.
Right. They're coming up another follow-up to that.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
That was a great show.
Yeah, yeah, just something.
Called You Too.
It's something that I think is probably. it's not You Too.
No.
It's stupid.
Sorry.
Dad joke.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think it just depicts our time today and the possibility of like because stalkers have been around forever and creepers. But we didn't have you didn't have access like you have access to people's personal lives. We all just put our personal lives online now, like it's no big deal. So you just open the floodgates.
You can like triangulate where somebody is now. Pretty easily.
Very easily.
Did you know there's a website that you could type in someone's name and it'll pull up their credit score, all their the houses that they purchased, it'll pull up their criminal record, all that shit. You pay like $10 and it pull and the
wow.
And yeah. All of it, all in one database that you could pull up instantly. How crazy is that?
Dude, speaking of that, do you follow you? I think you're the one that turned me on to that historic IG page. Do you follow that page?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's called Historic. And this morning, Woody Harrelson popped up on there.
Mm.
Did you know that his dad was a hitman? And it's serving life in prison.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
Uh-uh. Did you know that? I did not know
his
that.
His dad, Charles Harrelson.
Yeah.
He was a convicted hitman who, he's given a life sentence after killing a federal judge. Holy cow.
I didn't know that.
That's wild.
I know.
No, he looks just like his dad a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's like a younger version.
That's a great Instagram page, isn't it?
I do like it. Mm-hmm. I do like that page because mm-hmm. every once in a while something like that pops up that I'm like, oh shit! Did you see? Go back a few more, and you can see Angelina Jolie
in the 90s.
Yeah,
I had the biggest crush on her.
I did too.
Way back in the day.
I still do.
Did you get
Angelina
anymore,
Jolie?
Really?
Yeah, she's lost her mind.
Really?
Yeah, she went crazy.
She's unique. But, like a unique look.
You know when I had a crush on her first? Did you? And this is a cult classic, kids. If you haven't seen this movie, look it up.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
It's fucking awesome and fun to watch. Hackers.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Remember Hackers?
Yeah.
I loved her in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's when she was full hot.
Yeah.
But Hackers Hackers was new. Like, she was like, who's that girl? You know what I mean? That's when she was kind of, you know, whatever.
Dude, I got a good documentary for you guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's FLDS was this cult. So I'm into these cult-specific documentaries because it's just fascinating.
He wants to make sure that...
I want to figure it out.
If he sees you or I, Adam, go that direction, he wants to be able to call it quick.
I want
to
spot him, you know, as they're forming.
For sure, he's more likely.
I'm more likely to be a cult leader?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm always looking for that next cult leader.
Bro.
Yeah, like that's like part of my...
You're a cult agent?
Yeah, I feel like a watchdog or something.
You're getting all your church practice right now, too.
No.
There's that Rajneesh one that was up. I watched that documentary, and then there was the one in Waco, which was really fascinating.
That one was crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one was about Warren Jeff, who was... he was part of, like, this Mormon subsect who... was the polygamist kind of side of Mormonism.
Uh-huh.
And so basically, because it was outlawed, and so then he basically, his dad was the main leader for that and then kind of took everybody down lower at the bottom part of Utah and Arizona, like on the border. So basically, if anything went down, like where they were coming after them, they could go on to the next, you know, state and then just kind of keep shifting.
Unless the feds were involved, they would be safe.
Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, this was part of the game. And so they raised this kid as like could do no wrong and just turned into this psychopath. And he ended up being responsible, they think, for even like accelerating his dad's poor health and like feeding him like bad food, maybe even like poisoning him. And like basically taking over the throne of like this whole community.
Whoa.
And like, so his dad had like 20 something wives. He started to kind of take over some of his wives. And then he ended up like by the end, like he was at like 87 wives and like had like just a plethora of kids, like, everywhere. He was molesting all these kids.
Oh, my God.
He was just a fucking piece of shit.
This is on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh,
Oh man, it infuriated me, dude. I was just like, wow.
It's so weird how people, what's his name, made this, Mark Manson made this point, how, you know, we're always telling people to just become better. You could be, you know, you could improve your skills, hack your skills, whatever. And he's like, well, first you need to have good values, because like this guy, this cult leader, like all cult leaders, are incredibly gifted, charismatic leaders. Incredibly gifted.
Just twisting all the words.
But their values are fucked.
Yeah.
So they're really good at their job, like Hitler, really good at what he did, terrible values, terrible human being.
Well, right? it just sucks because like all of these people were so conditioned, you know, like every word of like their leader was like gold, you know, and so he could really do no wrong. And so he just used that completely.
That's
to control
what I mean.
It.
How that ability could be used for good, right?
Right. Exactly. If you would have put that towards something positive, like that whole community would be doing great things.
It's
right
so now. Weird.
Yeah. Series
so
weird. Or an actual single?
No, it was a single documentary. I think it was on either HBO or Showtime. I don't remember which
one. Oh, so
one.
It wasn't Netflix?
No.
Okay. Because
did Netflix. I say Netflix?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Interesting.
Psych!
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. What's this, the largest drug bust ever that you were bringing
up?
Oh,
yeah.
Around?
No, dude, that just happened on the port in Philly. It was it wasn't the all-time highest, but it was up there with the highest, and it was 16.5 tons. That's 33,000 pounds of cocaine.
Whoa!
That's a score.
What the fuck? How do you smuggle that?
You don't. It's on a ship, bro. They ship that in,
like,
and
pack the entire hole and everything.
Well, no, I think it was in like six different containers. I mean, bro, you're talking about 33,000 pounds, dude. That's a ton
huge.
Of cocaine. Street value over $1 billion. Huge bust, bro.
You know why that got? You know what happened there, right?
What do you mean?
Here's what I think happened with that. Because when you have that big of a drug shipment coming in, you're working with authorities. You have people paid off. Mm-hmm. There's people that you're working
with.
That's
why you got to watch The Wire, dog.
Somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Ask Doug. Where you all at, right. Doug?
Damn.
Where you at in it, Doug, right now? Where you at? Tell me.
I am in episode 4 or 5.
Okay.
Season 1.
Season 1. Okay. Yeah, season 2. You can just break down you can interrupt Sal and break down exactly how it goes down.
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. No for me, dog.
Like Randy from from American Idol.
It's going to be a
no. In season two of The Wire, they actually lay out the blueprints of exactly how that goes down.
Because that's what happened. There's no way you're trying to smuggle that many
tons of
drugs.
No, there's too many people it has to go, which is
way
why.
And something went bad.
Well, they arrested, like, I think 6 or 8 people right out the gates that were on the boat, just because to onboard that much cocaine, you can't just like slide that in your pants.
I thought it was baby powder.
Yeah. You don't just slide that in your pants. There's a lot of people that are having to be paid off and
that
are in
on it. Johnson & Johnson.
That's what I'm saying. I think something went wrong there where they were paying the right people off. It's going to come in, no hitch. Think about it. If you're a drug lord or whatever, you're not going to risk $1 billion of cocaine unless you got people paid off and you've been doing this shit. So something went wrong in the chain. You know what I'm saying? Like, either the people they paid off switched out, or it was another mob boss that kind of got in on it and fucked him. Who knows?
Well, this is one of those things that, which I like, why I like talking about it, is because this will become a movie in like 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like right now it's under investigation right now. Like the bust happened.
Hell yeah.
That had to have broke records of
it did.
All time, right?
All kinds of records. Yeah. It's one of the all-time biggest drug bust ever that's ever happened.
I wonder though if they were able to get one through that was bigger than that.
100%. Yeah, you don't come out the gates
with a billion dollars.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the boldest move ever.
Yeah, we work our way up to that. You know, we start with about 10 grand worth of shit, then we work up to $100,000, then we work up with $1 million, then you work up
to
a
billion. I'm feeling lucky today.
The agents that found it, like, damn, that's 13 tons. They're not going to miss a couple pounds.
Yeah, put this little kilo in my pants.
You know what's going to happen is, this is just the economics side of me. You just took $1 billion of cocaine off the streets.
Yeah, I know. If you got cocaine right now, it's worth a lot of money.
Price of cocaine just went up, everybody.
Oh, shit.
You got that coke.
Supply and demand.
Save that shit. You just made yourself some money. Yeah. Sell it again.
The 80s are back.
No,
great mind pump advice.
That's terrible.
This Quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from Godzilla11112. What are some tips for eating healthy at restaurants?
Oh, avoid the chips and bread.
Yeah, that's actually
and we're done.
That's actually the best piece of advice.
No.
That's the killer.
Isn't it funny that restaurants do? I mean, it's like
well, they want you to eat more.
They want you to get fat.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's the game. I used to be in that game.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, by the way, because people think that our appetite is governed by just how full we are. And yes, that does play a role, but it doesn't play nearly the same role as stimulating your appetite does with hyper-palatable type of foods.
Yeah. Novelty.
So if restaurants gave you free, by the way, restaurants are giving you free food that they have to pay for. So those chips and bread the restaurant pays for. No way in hell restaurants
would
do that.
They know what they're doing.
Exactly. They wouldn't do that if they knew it would make you order less food. Hmm. They do that because it makes you order more food.
Yep.
It actually makes you eat more. So that's a great piece of advice.
No, that's my first piece. The second piece, and this is something I always would tell clients, and it's always helped me, is I teach to eat your greens or your veggies first, then eat your protein/fat, and then last, indulge in carbs if you're going to at all, right?
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. and just by eating your food in that order, you'll be blown away by how many times you leave your plate. Because almost every, I mean, the way restaurants are nowadays, I mean, unless you're just starving going into it, it's rarely ever do I lick a plate clean. I mean, they mm-hmm. give you so much, the American-sized plates.
Oh, our portions are insane.
Our portions are crazy, right? You always end up filling up on all the carbs, though. And if you leave anything, you end up leaving some of the veggies or the salad or the, exactly. you know, or some of the steak or something like that. So, you know, I eat my greens first, eat that off the plate, then I eat the meat, and then if I still feel like I want more, then I'll allow myself to have some carbs.
And if it's too much of a temptation, tell the waiter, this is what I do, when the waiter comes and takes our order, I'll say,
don't bring it.
Yeah, please don't bring any bread or chips. Because if it's sitting in front of me,
yeah.
then I'm probably going to want to just grab it.
Scarf it down.
Yeah, and it's funny, this might be a terrible analogy, but slightly inappropriate. So I had a...
Here we go.
Put
my seatbelt on.
I had a buddy a long time ago that he used to tell me that whenever he would want to call his ex-girlfriend, he'd go to the bathroom and take care of himself. And then he said he'd have a straight...
What a great analogy. Yeah.
He'd have a straight...
You gotta clean the pipes.
Yeah,
so you think straight.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, man.
And he said...
I totally get it.
He said that his state of mind would be different because his state of mind was... And then he'd be like, no, I'm not going to call her. She was hella mean or whatever. And so what you're saying
She's
is...
abusive.
What you're saying, Adam, about eating the steak and the veggies first, like make your decision about the starches or the sugars after you've eaten the protein,
just like masturbating.
And the vegetables, exactly.
Yeah.
After you eat those, your state of mind is different. So after you eat a big steak and eat some veggies, then you'd be like, all right, do I want some pasta?
So teenage boys all over the country right now are running in the restroom masturbating between chips and bread.
No. Oh, that's yeah, I'm just it's an analogy.
Combo.
Yeah, it's not
the
exact
combo.
Same. No, that's exactly what I tell my clients. I tell them avoid the free bread and chips. Don't drink your calories. That's another big one. That's true for
Stay
anybody.
Away from alcohol. That'll ruin all your decisions.
Alcohol reduces inhibition, which obviously makes you, if you have any control over your diet and inhibition goes out, just like you're more likely to sleep with the person you wouldn't sleep with if you weren't drunk, you're more likely to eat the food.
All sound advice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't drink sodas. Don't drink sodas or juices. That's a cup of 200 calories right there that you could just, you'd rather eat. You know?
I know a lot of people too are worried about like the oils and everything too that they're going to cook the meat. So you just have to kind of know what you're going into. Like it's a compromise already from the beginning.
Here's the thing. Here's the other thing too with restaurants: the butter. Butter's not bad. Obviously, if you're eating too many calories, it's going to put body fat on you. But a lot of restaurants don't use real butter.
Use margarine.
They use the shit. They use butter flavored vegetable. Shortening
I can't believe
or whatever.
This doesn't taste good.
If the butter they bring you to put on whatever you're eating is like soft, like with your knife, it just like whipped, probably not real butter. I always ask them, I say, hey, don't use any oil on my vegetables. You can put a little bit of butter, but make sure it's real butter. And then they'll oftentimes come back and be like, we don't use real butter. I'm like, all right.
Well, that's also other really, that's good advice too. There's a lot of people don't know many restaurants drop like a nice cube of butter on top of your steak when they're cooking it. They totally drown your vegetables in oil. Mm-hmm. And you can ask for a lot of that stuff dry.
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on how strict I am, and sometimes I don't worry about that. Like if I do a pretty good job of doing what I'm saying, which is avoiding the chips and bread, eating the veggies first, going to the steak, the little bit of oil that my body's getting or the little bit of butter that's on top of the steak is not a big deal. But if you're really pinching for calories and you are tracking that and you want, I mean, a lot of restaurants are nowadays.
If you're that annoying and anal, just stay home. That's my advice.
It's not that hard to ask somebody for steamed or dried veggies and to don't use any oil or butter on my steak. Yeah.
No,
it's
but
not
you know,
hard.
You know what though? Justin brings up a good point. Eating out at restaurants used to be a very occasional thing. It's now turned into most nights out of the week, me and my girl eat out.
Oh, I eat out daily.
Right. And that's when it becomes a challenge. That's when you really have to pay attention.
That's also why I like this question, though, because it's modern times now. We live in a world now where
Uber Eats.
Yeah, Uber Eats and restaurants everywhere. And
we've totally outsourced
it. It's a valid point.
And
I'm just being an asshole.
And I'm, and it's for someone like me who, you know, even before Katrina, and because Katrina does cook a lot. Katrina always makes at least one of our meals a day at home. But, I mean, I still got to eat 2-3 other times. So many times I'm eating out. What's neat is we do live now in a time where, if you live in the city, so I guess I shouldn't be saying that because I don't know if you live in the Midwest what it's like for you. But over here, there's always enough choices that I can make a good choice even eating out. I can go to a restaurant that serves relatively healthy, good food that I don't have to worry about, you know, did they drown this in vegetable oil and what else is in this food? And
here's the other problem that, and I've talked to clients about this as well, is that oftentimes because the plates are so large in many restaurants, like if you go to the Cheesecake Factory, your plate is going to be 12 to 1500 calories. That's a lot of food for anybody. And so if you go there and you want to order some food and you think, I'm going to eat 3/4 of this or I'm going to eat half of this, make sure you tell the waiter, please take my plate. Because here's what happens a lot of times in restaurants. You'll eat half and be like, yeah, I'm pretty full. But then the other half is sitting on your plate while you're talking to your friends or whatever. It's right in your face. That makes it very difficult to not eat it. So you can either tell the waiter or waitress, please take this. So make sure you call them down and take it out of your face. Or tell them to bring you a box and box it right then and there. Put it in the box. Put it next to you on the seat. Now it's out of sight. You're not eating it. And you've put a barrier between you and the rest of that food.
Another thing that I do a lot of times too is almost all restaurants, unless you're ordering like a steak, but for most places, especially like your Chipotle's or quick places like that, or your Nick the Greek, or most places the protein size, the serving size is pretty small. It's normally 4 ounces. So I almost always double my meat and replace any of my like starchy carbs with like greens and veggies.
Yeah, I always do that.
So that's something that we all, and I know I've seen everybody order like this. I ate out this morning, same thing. I have a protein scramble is what I just had this morning at eating out at Bill's Cafe. And with the protein scramble, it's normally egg whites, which I think is funny. So I put regular eggs in there. And instead of only, and it's normally 2 eggs, and then it's got apple sausage, all kinds of stuff. And then it normally comes with hash browns, toast, and fruit, and all this other shit. So what I actually do is I say, I want 4 eggs, whole eggs, in my scramble. And instead of the hash browns, all I want is fruit and sourdough dry bread. Mm-hmm. And that's how I eat my morning breakfast. So there's lots of little things that you could do like that, I think, that saves calories and makes it something that's a little bit more balanced.
And back to Justin's point about not eating out, like here's how I go view eating out at restaurants. I don't eat out super often. But when I do, it's eating out. It's an event. It's something I'm going to do with the person I enjoy being with. And so I don't really pay too much attention in terms of, I'm not going out to eat for its nutritional value. When I eat, most of the time, that's how I eat.
Yeah,
but when I'm going to eat out, for me at least, I'm going out to eat for the enjoyment of eating out. And so I may avoid foods that I'm intolerant to or foods that I know that are not worth it because they're just not going to make me feel good. But other than that, I typically would just eat, you know, whatever. But if I eat out a lot, that's when it really starts to make sense.
Yeah, but you always adjust. I don't think you ever ordered something and you get it the way they serve it.
Well, a lot of that has to do with food intolerance,
right? Well, I mean,
because there's a scale, right?
Whatever. Like point is that I mean, you make the adjustments. There's nothing wrong with that, sure. and there's nothing wrong with people doing that. And I think that's good advice, and it's a good question to ask because some people just assume that you just order it the way. You'd be surprised how many places we do this all the time at our breakfast place where. When we all go together, you can get sautéed spinach instead of hash browns.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just a much better choice than you sitting there and downing a big old... Because, mm-hmm. man, the hash brown servings they give you, too, is like... It's like four fried potatoes.
Fills the whole plate up.
Yeah, no, it's like a bag of potato chips. You may as well. Yeah, no, it's amazing, right, to crush. But, you know, it's also 700 calories and doused in mm-hmm. grease. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're way better off having something like sautéed spinach instead. And that tastes really damn good,
and,
too.
And lastly, here's another tip. Most restaurants have have nutritional facts for their food. Most big restaurants, at least. You can go – this is what I used to do when I was trying to get real shredded during the times of trying to get real lean where I have to kind of count things is I knew the restaurant I was going to, and I would just go online ahead of time and figure out what to order before I got there.
Now, to that point, it's important that if you do that, okay, that you use a 30% buffer because that's what they allow – FDA allows. So they are not back there, you know, just because it says 6 ounces of whatever. They're not back there weighing your food before
the cooks
they serve.
Aren't really abiding.
They
for that.
Don't give a
standard.
Shit. And so because of that,
I know FDA. I've seen it.
FDA allows restaurants to fudge 30% north or south, and of course,
that's fucking huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge number.
That's 300 calories on a 1,000-calorie meal.
Yes, and so you better believe that you know, and restaurants aren't going to make people think their food is higher in calories. They're always going to think to take you lower. I always, when I teach clients eating out, you know, first of all, whenever we're trying to find your caloric maintenance, I think it's a horrible idea. So if you have listened to the advice before where we say, hey, and you're trying to figure out your metabolism and you're trying, it's a terrible idea to do that while eating out. Discipline yourself for 1 week of your life to not eat a single meal out so you can actually measure, weigh, track yourself because of how skewed eating out can be. And then when you decide to integrate eating out because it's realistic that we're all going to do that. You should always buffer, you know, a 30% increase of higher calories
just to be safe.
Than what it's saying to be safe.
Yeah, I remember the first time I weighed a potato or like a banana, and I'm like, oh, this is. I thought this was a large banana, but apparently this is a super extra large banana. You know?
Bananas are such a great example of a fruit that we have bastardized over the last few hundred years. And it looks totally different than if you open a nutrition book. Normally, it'll be a small, a medium, a large, and maybe an extra large banana. And
look at the weight.
This is where I'm heading with this point is we would look at our bananas and the bananas that you think are the smallest bananas you've ever seen in the grocery store. You would think that is like some anomaly and it doesn't even fall in that category. But that's like a medium or a normal banana. And what we see as like a normal banana doesn't even register in the nutrition books.
It's two extra large bananas.
It is. It literally is like that. So if you actually weigh it, to your point, Sal, because they'll also give you that. It'll be like, oh, extra large banana, which also equates to, you know, X amount of ounces.
Yeah.
And if you actually put it on the scale and weigh it out and do the math, you're like, holy shit, that large banana is a 50 grams of sugar?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, according to this chart, this banana could feed a family of four for dinner.
Yeah, yes.
It's crazy.
Next question is from CMOS23. How do you balance training and being a great dad?
It's tough.
I struggle with crazy guilt if I miss any of my 4-year-old's life to train.
This is a big lesson for people with kids and fitness. You cannot pour from an empty cup. Okay, so you can't give your son your all or your daughter your all if you aren't available to provide your all because your health is poor, because your sleep isn't good, because you just don't feel good. I know how much better and more effective of a parent I am when I'm feeling good and I'm feeling healthy. Now, this doesn't mean that you obsess over your fitness and you're doing it for hours and hours a day and it's impeding in your life, but it does mean that you should definitely take care of yourself. The number one comment I would get from clients when they would first hire me, because a lot of my clients were these executives, these hardworking type A executives. One of the number one comments I would get was how much better they were at their job. Mm-hmm. They're like, I didn't realize that I would take time off of work to work out, which was hard for them because they were so dedicated to the jobs. And then they became more effective at work. Same thing with parents. You'll find that because you take care of yourself, you're happier, you have more patience, and you'll live longer. You're just going to be have a longer, healthier life to be there for your kid. Most important thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's so important. Exactly what you said, to really like hone in on bettering yourself so you could be a better, have that energy and pour that energy into your family. One thing, I made space to make sure I got in resistance training, but then basically like any cardio or any excess activity, I was incorporating everybody with that.
Great
so
idea.
We're going on hikes. So I'm going this like honestly, there's no reason for you to do cardio by yourself anyway. I find it like insane to me that somebody's going to just fucking run on a treadmill forever to nowhere by yourself. This is my time. What are you doing? You're not a hamster.
Fuck off, I do that.
Like, why? What? Like, what's the point of that? Do something productive. Like,
chase you know? Your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, anyways, that's a little rant, but like, I, honestly, if you incorporate them and structure play, structure things like outside where you can do activities, you can do cardio, you can work out, whatever.
No kid wants the fat dad, man. No. No kid. No kid wants the fat dad. So take care of your shit. And I think that to Sal's point, if it gets to the point where you're so addicted to exercise that it impedes on your relationship with your kid, that's a bad place to be. But absolutely, when you exercise, you'll be surprised on how much better of a father or you are at everything. Everything that you do, you put more into it. It never ceases to amaze me, even to this day. Like, I'll have just 2 days ago, I was sharing with Katrina that I was all motivated to work out the day before, saying, oh, tomorrow morning I'm going to get this hard workout. Blah, blah. And then I just had a long day. I had to do 3 podcasts because we did our 2 here. Then I had an interview and then we had a meeting in the morning and just a lot of shit. And I was like, ugh. I was all groggy, tired, fatigued. And I'm like, no, I committed to working out. So I went to the gym and trained hard. And then afterwards, I came home and I had all this energy. And now I wanted to clean the house. I went for a walk again with Katrina afterwards. And I know, had I not done that, what I would have done was went to the couch and made an excuse for myself on why I was so tired. Because I rightfully so. I worked real hard all day long. I did all this stuff. I was, quote unquote, productive. And so it would have been really easy for me to melt into the couch and call it a day. But because I went out there, I trained. And it's amazing how that makes you feel. And then I become more productive at the house. Well, that transfers over into fatherhood. So.
Absolutely. Exercise and activity is necessary for good health. And people don't realize this. Like, let me rephrase his question. How do you balance eating and being a great dad? I struggle with crazy guilt if I miss any of my 4-year-old's life to eat. That sounds silly, right? Like, no parent would be like, I'm not going to eat. That's time away from my kids. Because we know that eating is necessary. Well, activity is also necessary. And now it's not going to kill you as fast as not eating, but it will reduce the quality of your life and it will shorten your life. We know this for a fact. So you have to make the time for exercise, not because it's for you or anything else, but really because it does make you a better parent. It actually will make you a better father to be fit and to be healthy.
I like this question, though, too, because it also reminds me and it takes me back to when you first sent over MAPS Anabolic and, I'd already been a trainer for a long time and realized what types of programs and what worked really well for most of my clients. And most of my clients is just like this guy.
Sure.
He has a life and he cares about his kids and he cares about other things than just training and being in shape. And so he's torn between, all the muscle fitness magazines telling me that I need to be in here, 5 to 7 days.
Super ultra committed.
Yeah, 5 to 7 days a week and carrying my Tupperware around. It's like, no, actually, you could spend 3 hours a week in the gym, and do a full body routine and train smart. And that's not a lot of time to commit. And that's when Sal sent over MAPS Anabolic. And I remember seeing that going like, dude, this is what it took me most of my career to get to realize that this is what's most beneficial for 90% of the people out there. So, there's your answer is, 3 hours a week is not a lot of time to have to commit.
That's the whole game like that you're going to keep facing is how to maximize your time, how to be more efficient with what you're doing, like across the board. We've talked about this business-wise too. It's like, you can't just be there all day anymore. You can't just be available to everybody like on a whim. Like, you have to be very structured and you have to, start figuring that out. And, that's an important part. Fitness is integral to your health. So you know, get more efficient with it and follow a very specific program. It will help you to stay tight with that.
Next question is from Taylor Baca. Do you find it hard to live up to the image your listeners have of you?
What's that image?
I was just going to say, this would have been better served with afterwards saying, Justin this, Adam that, Sal this.
No, you know why it's not hard? So here's the thing. Like, we did not go into this as media people.
As creating an image.
We didn't go into this as media people. None of us had any acting experience. None of us had any media experience, podcast experience. All of us were in our mid-30s when we started this. All of us had been trainers or had been in fitness for 15 to 20 years. So we didn't know to do anything other than just be ourselves. So my image is just me. And what's going to end up happening if you listen to the podcast long enough, you hear me change because that's what happens to people. Yeah. They change. So if someone meets me, there's no image that I'm trying to portray. I'm just being myself. But I can imagine how stressful that would be. Because we've met a lot of YouTubers and Instagram celebrities through this job, and you meet them in person, and you realize they are not at all like the people that they portray, and that's stressful.
I feel like I got a taste of this a little bit at the very beginning, because when we first started the podcast, it was already in the middle of me competing. And so I think at the very beginning that people that listen to the podcast, you know, right away wanted to put me in a box of, Adam's the...
That's your identity.
Yeah,
right,
Adam's
there.
The bro bodybuilder asshole guy. Like, that's my character, right?
They had a half right.
The asshole part is true. I will cop to that for sure. Yeah. But the bodybuilder thing is so not true. Yeah. And a guy that's into that. And of course, my Instagram is full of selfies and shirt pictures and, you know, before and afters and all this shit like that. And so I could totally see how that was an image that someone had of me, like, oh, he's totally the competitor guy. Mm. And I probably attracted a lot of those people. And so I struggled with that a little bit, not because I was wanting to live up to that image, because I actually wanted to break that image. I don't think I have that anymore now. In fact, I think we have more followers today that actually know me. For sure I know that, because we've more than quadrupled since we've started the podcast. And the people that are now on probably know me better because I've shared different journeys during this whole podcast. And I think they realize, like, I'm not just a bodybuilder guy. There's lots of other things that I like to do and train and I'm about. And so, which is more who I am. So at the beginning, I definitely felt that. So I could identify with somebody who puts themselves out there on social media with the intentions of trying to build a business, and they're putting a character out there, which that wasn't my intention. It was just where I was at in my life.
Yeah, I don't think that's the thing. I don't think I don't think it was anything weird, because it was accurate for the time.
Right.
At the time, that's what you were doing.
And I owned it 100%.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I can't think of anything that we've done I can't think of anything you did or Justin did that wasn't you. Like, it's always been you. There's nothing. And honestly, to be honest with you, none of it's planned. It's not like we planned to be like ourselves. Because we didn't know
you could be anything else. Different. I think too. I feel more like I'm portraying a little bit more of my personality and like who I really am. Like, it's starting to kind of get closer to that, because I think in the beginning it was just so hard because I was consciously so much in my mind about like how do I handle this, how do I express opinions all the time, and like how do I interject when I need to interject, and how do I talk for this long, it's like it was a struggle.
It's actually become easier, right? Like, totally. I think that the longer we've done this, the
more ourselves, maybe.
Yeah, we're coming through more,
and just mainly because we're more comfortable.
Yeah,
right.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, because the only skewed image that someone might have had early on was just because it was our nervous selves presenting ourselves. And, you know, when I'm nervous, I probably cuss more. I'm probably, my sense of humor, believe it or not, gets darker when I'm when I'm nervous. And so that might be, a little different. But it's still me. It's just nervous me. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, I agree.
Yeah, so, but I do, I feel bad for people in the space who portray something that they're not, because that's got to be really stressful to constantly pretend that you're someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And you almost, it's the human psyche is interesting. If you do that enough, you actually do create a somewhat of a split personality where, like Bill Cosby, you know, like he's this super nice, great dad, good guy. But then he's also a fucking horrible human being that was, well, you know, drugging people.
Especially with morals and stuff like that. Like I start watching people when they get real like judgmental and like sort of condoning people for their behaviors and all this and like really like projecting outward and not like it's not about them anymore. It's about like everybody else needs to act like this. You need to do like, I'm like, oh, really? Hmm. Like, what are you going through?
Yeah, what's in your closet?
Yeah, what are you hiding?
Exactly. No, but what ends up happening is, you know, someone like that, like again, like Bill Cosby, who literally had two opposing personalities, two opposing personas. You had the Bill Cosby that we all grew up and knew, who was honestly probably
Dr.
one of the,
Huxtable.
Yeah, he was one of the most loved people in America. He was the nicest man. He was a dad. He was smart. Never said bad words. None of his comedy had any cursing or profanity. Clean dude. Great guy. Stand-up person. Probably America's favorite man. And then you had the same person who literally drugged and raped people for a long period of time. What ends up happening in his mind, what probably would end up happening is he separated it. He probably thought he was that nice guy. And that other guy, that's just something else that happens, but that's not who I am.
Right.
It's really fucking weird. That's a very, very pathological way of living. And so, but none of us are trained actors. So we start this and it's like, here we are.
It's also one of my favorite compliments that we receive when we meet people. Is when people say like, oh my God, they're 100% or you guys are 100% exactly how you are on the podcast.
It's always weird to hear that. Yeah.
I love that though. I think that's, when I think of the things, like I don't need to hear from somebody like, wow, you're really smart. Oh, wow, you're really buff. Or, oh, you're really, I don't care about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it does make me feel good that the person that we present on our show or on social media, when you meet us, you feel like you truly know us because we come off the exact same way that we come off on all of our platforms and on the podcast and things like that. So to me, that means it means a lot that we are not, you know, putting a show on or presenting ourselves in a different light than who we really are. And I think, I mean, come on, that's part of our brand is stay authentic. I mean, that's so important to us. And I think we live in a world today that we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from being real and being yourself and owning who you are into pretending to be like something you're not and trying to be like everybody else. And I mean, that shit just disgusts me. I'm not a fan of that at all.
Yeah, I've just seen like in our space, I can always tell because like you'll see people that will avoid questions that really kind of target like a flaw or an area that they're not, it's not going to put them in the best light.
Right.
You know, and it's, and for us, that was always like a challenge to us. We're like, oh man, how can I express what I'm going through and just, you know, tell as much as I can about like what I'm struggling with.
Next question is from McKinley Bass. What sport do you wish you would have gotten into growing up?
Gymnastics and swimming.
Damn.
Gymnastics, huh?
You picked mine.
Gymnastics, 100% what I understand about human physiology and mechanics now. And
probably one of the best sports you can get your kids
into. It is.
Into, huh?
I mean, we a great episode, if you've not listened to the Chad Wesley episode, where we talked about the most ideal progression to take a kid through what types of sports and how many sports and at what ages. I would have loved to have followed a protocol like that.
Just, I could just see you doing that one where you do the spinning ribbon.
That'd be awesome. Fuck off, bro.
What's that called?
The floor. Floor exercises or whatever.
Interpretive dance.
Fuck you.
So I can express myself through movement.
No, it's just gymnastics. When you're, first of all, you get into it at a very, very young age, and the things they teach you, like tumbling and balance and coordination and just spatial awareness, is so fundamental to all sports.
Much of it gets hardwired.
So much carryover there.
Yeah, it gets hardwired into your brain at a young age.
That ideally I would have started with that. And I actually wouldn't have wanted to do gymnastics my whole life. I just would want to start there as a kid. So when the question's asked, gotten into growing up, I would have liked to start there. And then I absolutely would have still loved to have played basketball like I did. But I wish I would have also integrated swimming at one point. I think that I obviously would have been, I think, pretty natural at it. And if someone would actually taught me the skills of it, I think I could have been all right.
I could echo that, but I probably would pick parkour just because it's a little weirder.
Was that even a sport when
it
we were
is.
Kids?
It well, wasn't
it
then.
Is, it wasn't then, but it is now. Like, I'm actually, like, I'm putting my kids in because I was like, man, I really, like, secretly wish I would have done it, you know, just, like, doing these weird, like.
That's where, you know what's funny that you make those videos? There's an inner child of you that actually really likes
it. I really like it. Like, enjoy it. I do.
That makes it more funny to me now because I know
I'm so shitty at it.
Because inside, I'm like, you know what? This motherfucker practiced this at home one time.
I'm like, ooh, what kind of creative move can I do off of this, like, trash can?
You got to bring that back.
I do. I just need, I need a video guy. Nobody can keep up with me.
Hardcore parkour.
Yeah, hardcore parkour. But I also wish I would have wrestled before I played football, too. That was a thing that a couple of my friends, man, they just had that. It just enhanced their tackling technique. It enhanced their strength, you know, like person to person, their endurance. I just wasn't really all into the whole singlet thing. So I couldn't get
roll
past
around
that.
With other men.
Yeah, I couldn't get past that fact.
Scared of getting a boner.
Yeah, it was
100%.
Yeah, a real challenge there. But yeah, other than that, I think I played football, I played basketball, I played baseball, I played rugby. So I'm pretty good. Maybe lacrosse.
Yeah. The only two sports that I actually trained in and then competed in were judo and jiu-jitsu. Now, I will say this. I'm extremely happy that I did those two things. I think it's very important for kids to learn how to fight at an early age, not because you're going to go out and kick people's asses, but because it does
build confidence.
It does. You know, when you're in a situation, especially as a boy, there's always a threat of violence. And what I mean by that is, and girls don't experience this as much, but when you're in an altercation with another boy, let's say you're 10 or you're 12 or 13, and another boy has a problem with you or you're arguing with a boy, and again, this is different for men than for women, there's always a threat of violence. But not that it's going to happen.
It's just a pecking order of like who's the tough one.
Yeah, there's always a little bit of that, right? Like it's like when you're in the car with your girlfriend and the guy cuts you off and then your girlfriend flips him off and you get mad at her because she doesn't understand that there's a threat of violence with men. And if I'm going to flip a guy off, I have to be willing to engage. Whereas with women, oftentimes, or girls, they don't necessarily... That doesn't happen. You know, they could say something to each other like, you bitch, and she doesn't think to herself like she's going to punch me.
Right.
We have to, and this is just, again, this is just growing up male. There's always a little bit of that. And the confidence you get from martial arts, if it's done the right way, it makes you less of an asshole and less aggressive. You're just more confident. You're more cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I did judo and I felt confident with my ability or jiu-jitsu and somebody cut me off or said something, I was less likely to do anything or to say anything, but I was very confident with it. And I knew, like, well, if something happens, I can handle myself. So I was very proud of doing those. But I agree with Adam and say that gymnastics is a sport that I really wish that I did growing up because it teaches you body awareness in a well-rounded way, much more so than other sports that I can think of. And these skills become hardwired into your brain. There's things that you can learn as a kid that you can never learn as well once you pass a certain age.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
An example is language. I could go take classes and learn how to speak Chinese, for example, and I could try very, very hard and dedicate myself. And after a few years, I could probably learn how to speak Chinese quite well, but I'll always have an accent. No matter what, I'll never be able to speak it fluently like a native Chinese person. Now, if I learned it as a child, I would learn how to speak Chinese without an accent. I would learn how to speak it like a native person. This is true for movement as well. There are parts of your brain that are done developing at a certain point. So if you never learn to build this body awareness as a child, you could still develop quite a bit as an adult, but you miss that window of opportunity. And that's why gymnastics is and you can see kids that practice gymnastics as kids, and you could just see their body awareness. Even as adults, I would even train clients who hadn't worked out for 20 years, and I'd ask them about their fitness history. And be like, oh, I did gymnastics for 10 years. Always had better body awareness than people who didn't do that and didn't work out.
There might have been hope for you if you would have done that.
What?
In sports.
Oh,
sports ball.
Here's the thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Looking back, could my parents have talked me into doing gymnastics? Nope.
I know. That's
no way.
Yeah, it's funny that I know we all agree and say that gymnastics would probably be a foundational exercise, but man, or a foundational sport that we would want to play. But as a young boy,
even as a parent, I don't want to go watch it.
Yeah, it'd be really, hard.
I'm sorry, but
it'd be really hard to
me.
Probably have convinced me as a kid, which is unfortunate. You know, it's too bad because it is, I think, such a great sport for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download our guides. They're all absolutely free. And you can also find us all on Instagram. You can find Justin at MindPumpJustin. You can find me at MindPumpSal. And you can find Adam at MindPumpAdam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at MindPumpMedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.